Baz Hashem is Baruch, we begin Perek Sheni, the second Perek in the Hilchos Nar Bisul, in the laws of the virgin maiden. And here we go from the first Perek we spoke about, specifically the Knas. Here we talk about the other payments that come along with the Maisa Oynis and Mefata, with the act of seduction, or that of coerced relations. So Rambam begins Halacha Alf, where he categorizes the payments of the Oynis and Mefata. Says the Rambam, Chamishim Kesav Shal Knas. These 50 silver coins of the penalty, that's specifically the monetary payment for the pleasure of the cohabitation itself that the man had with the woman. But additionally, the seducer has to give embarrassment and deficiency, because when he cohabits with her, he creates a deficiency and she loses the value, going downgraded from a besula, from a virgin, to a be'ula, as the Rambam explained halacha vav. And there's embarrassment because of what he committed to her. Yisra ala knas, hakatsa b'tayra, more than just the penalty that was set in the Torah of 50 silver coins. Now, yes, ala ba'aynis, in addition, when he raped the girl, he has to add on, true nice and that's the tzar, they has to give the pain. As the Rambam explains, Shanavela's bird saying in Litzar, because a woman cohabits consensually with her desire, so there's no pain. The body provides a way that it's not as a painful act if there's desire on her part. But if he rapes her, if he violates her, then there's pain. And that's why the Torah specifies by the woman that was raped, because he afflicted her, for that he has to add on also the payment of the tzar. Now, halacha base, Zimtzah, says Rambam, comes out. Hamafat, Mishal, Mishleish, Advar. So a seducer pays three things. Kanas, that penalty that the Torah tells us by both them. Ubaishas, and the embarrassment of Fugam, and the deficiency. Va'inas, and if he rapes, Arba, there's four. Is Kanas, is the 50 silver coins of the penalty. Again, that's just for the Hana of the Dmei of the Shechiva. Uvaishas, these embarrassment, is degrading what he did to her, Bitzar, and there's the pain over here by Einas. Ufugam, and also the deficiency that she lost her value as being a Besula. Now, Saram explains Allah again. He says, Kanas Shava Bakal. So, what we spoke about in the previous parak, the penalty that the Torah appoints, that's equal by every girl. Echad Abba Bas Kohen Gadol, whether he had relations with the daughter of the high priest, Vechad Abba Bas Gera Mamzer, whether it was the daughter of a convert or of an illegitimate person. Doesn't make a difference. Kanasa chemishan kasef. Her penalty will always be he has to pay 50 silver coins, which is a general rule. Anything that is a set amount in the Torah is equal, no matter who the person is. Avla boishes, but the shame, vapukam, the deficiency, vatsar, and the pain, einim sham lakol. That's not equal by every single person. That's relative. That's subjective. Utzrich and shuma, and that has to be evaluated by the person. As Rambam continues, halacha dal. It says ketzad shem. How do you make this evaluation? Sabayish, regarding embarrassment, hakolafi hamavayish, everything goes according to the one who's embarrassing, vamizbayish, and the one who gets embarrassed, as Rambam explains. Shein adem, it's not comparable, mavayish nara chashuva, if someone disgraces a distinguished young woman, umim mishpacho miyuchasa, from a distinguished family, has an outstanding ancestry, mavayish ketana, who is not a naira, an older girl who is more mature. No, she's a little girl that he embarrassed. Ania, the pauper, vizuya, the disgraced and degraded. So you can't compare the girl who's getting disgraced. And so to the end of them, you can't compare mizbayish ma'adam chashabagal. You can't compare the one who's doing the embarrassing, the man. You can't compare someone who's degraded from a distinguished and mature person, the misbayish, who, if she gets disgraced, from one of the repulsive people of a common, from the lower level strata of people, where a disgraceful person that embarrasses, it's a greater shame. A distinguished person, someone that's somewhere higher in the status, it's not as degrading, and therefore again, it's going to depend on the one who's embarrassing and the one who's getting embarrassed, meaning the status of the man and the status of the woman. Now, halacha hey, ulafiza, based on this, royin hadayanin malosa yom malosa. So the judges, they look at his status and her status. V'shamin, and they evaluate, kama mamin rola via un mishpach talitin. How much money would have it been fit for the father and for her family to have given? V'lo yerlem davazem, adam zed, that this thing would not have happened from this man. They would have paid that out and said, what a disgrace to the family. They would have paid all this money. That, how much they would have given? V'kama yuchav v'shamin, that's how much she has to pay for the disgrace of this woman and her family. Now, look above, pagam, the deficiency, lefi yafi, according to her beauty. meaning Roina, so we look at this girl. Kilu Shifchanim Keres Bashuk, as if she was, we're talking about monetary value. How can we monetize this to compensate the girl because of the deficiency that now she's not a virgin anymore? We look at her Kilu Shifchanim Keres Bashuk, as if she was a maidservant being sold in the market. Kamehi Shava Bu'ula, how much is she worth having already had cohabitation? But Kamehi Shava Basula, how much is she in this pristine virgin state? As the Rambam explains, Shadam writes a Likna Shifcha Basula Litna La'abda, there is monetary value. A person would want to buy a maidservant that's a virgin to give to his servant. She writes about Niyasa Vitebase that he wants the pleasure and the good of the servant because he's a trustworthy servant, he wants to reward him. But really, Kama Pifasa, and we see, well, how much does that value get downgraded by being a Ba'ula? Visham, and that's how much he has to compensate this Oinus Mafata has to compensate the girl. Now, Tsar, which is unique to the Oinus, the pain, is lafi katnus, is according to how young she is, uvinya gufa, into the structure of her body, her physiology, ulafi shana begufa, and according to how old he is, and according to his body, meaning there's an injury over here by a rape. And imdin, we evaluate kama of reitzalitin, how much would the father have given money, that his daughter should not have pain, have been injured from this man, how much money would he have paid? V'yitin, and that's how much money the rapist has to give to the victim. Halachazai. Now, Hamafata, if a man seduces a girl, so he has to give to her father, the embarrassment and the deficiency right away, meaning even if he's going to end up marrying the woman. In contrast, but he doesn't give the penalty, unless if he doesn't actually marry her. Because like it says the Pasuk in Shmais, and we mentioned this in the previous parak, if the father refuses to give his daughter to this man who seduced his daughter, so then Kesav Yishkol, then he takes the money of the Knas because of what this man did to his daughter. But the inference is, if he does give his daughter to the man, then he doesn't collect the Knas. But again, that's only regarding the Knas. The Beis Shabagam is immediately to the father. Now, avloin this, but regarding the rapist, Nisnabad Vamiyad Vikainis, he has to give all the four that he's obligated in, and he has to marry her. Therefore, and that's what's different than we said regarding that of Mefata, where the Knas is only if he doesn't marry her. Here, even if he does marry, he has to give it. So ultimately, since this guy gives everything, all the payments right up front, and he has to marry her, when she wants to get divorced or she gets widowed from him, she doesn't get anything, let's say, for Iksuba, because the monetary value of what a woman usually gets from Iksuba when she leaves the marriage, she really got with the monetary payment of the Knas, like we see in contrast to the Mefata, where she doesn't get Nifra, she gets Iksuba. Here she really got the Knas money, which is really to compensate for the Mayar Psulis, for the virginity that she lost, and therefore she doesn't get anything when she leaves the marriage. Halacha Ches. Ba'olav Shnai. Let's say two men cohabited with her. Echad Kedarka, Echad Shalei Kedarka. One did it in the natural vaginal way, and one did it Shalei Kedarka in the anal, in the unnatural way. So Zeshabola Shalikadarka, the man that had relations with her in the unnatural way. So Imhurishan, if he's the first one to ever had relations with her, Chayiv Bebeishas Shabagam, he's liable for the embarrassment and the deficiency, because even unnatural relations also downgrades it a little bit. Now, there's no liability for the Knas, because that's only if it's done in the natural way, as the Rama said in the previous parak in Halacha Ches. Now, so that's if he's the first one. Vimu Achren, if he's the last one, well, Chayiv Bebeishas Levad, he's only liable for the embarrassment, obviously, where there's a disgrace to the family if this man had relations with her, but he's not liable for Pagam, because she kvar nifkama, because she really was deficient in her virginity, which she really lost with the first man who already had relations with her in a natural way. That's regarding the one who had Bia Shalei Kedarka. Now, Bezeshabola Kedarka, the man who had relations with her vaginally in the regular way, is Bein Rishon, Bein Achron, whether he's the first or the last one, Chayiv Beknas, he's liable for the penalty, Ubashar Dram, and all the other things that have these halachas, because the other person never took away the psulim, he did it unnaturally. So whether this one who did a kedarka is first or last, still he's going to be liable for the knas. Now, Aval Bat, Ram does point out, Ein Beishas Tubagam, Shal Bashal, Le'nivel HaKlal, you can't compare the embarrassment and the deficiency of a girl who never had bia at all, where that's the ultimate, to the embarrassment and the begam of the woman who already had relations anally. So, although, yes, there's still basulim over here, And there be this man who had relations in the regular way, whether he's first or even last, he'll be chayv for the knas and he'll be chayv for the bishul and begam, because he did take away her virginity. But ultimately, she wasn't pristine in the sense a man already had relations with her in an unnatural way, so it's not going to be the same amount, although you will have all those liabilities. Now, Halachat Hazaram continues regarding if someone is, in general, exempt from these payments. Because as Ram says, Kavar Hardanu, he says, already explained in the previous parak in Halachat Tes and Yud, Habanish Inam Kanas, there are certain girls that don't get the biblical penalty if they were seduced or raped. Vesrahin, and there's 10 of them. Habagaris, if she's already over 12 and a half. Vama Enes, or if she refused her marriage that she had rabbinically as a minor. Vama Gereshes, or if she was divorced. Vama Ilness, or if she's someone that doesn't have the days of Nairis. Vama Shaito, mentally deranged. Vama Chareshes, or deaf mute. Vama Gieris, or she converted. Vama Shvuya, if she was redeemed from captivity. Vama Shachareres, and she was freed as a maidservant. Again, these are over the age of 3. Bichala Shemra, or she already had a bad reputation for doing these types of things when she was younger. Those 10 women, they don't have, as we explained in the previous parak, the knas of being raped or seduced. Now, Shahar Ban is Yeshan knas, but all of the girls, they do get this payment of the knas. Halacha Yud. Kol Bash Yeshan knas, so the Rambam goes further than this. It says, any girl that has the biblical knas, if she was Ines and Mefuta, Yeshla Bash Yeshan, she also has the shame from that story, and she also has the deficiency. So, and Vimi Hanus, and if she was raped, Yeshla Tzad, then she has another one, that of the pain. But if she doesn't have the knas, so then she doesn't get the embarrassment, doesn't get the deficiency if she was seduced. And also if she was raped. Except for 4 of them, if she was already begaris, or if she was a me'enis, or she mentally deranged, or a deaf mute, they do get the beishav le'begam. The reason why that is because a begaris is still a virgin. So when she's raped, she still gets embarrassed and she still gets deficient. So to me'enes, if she had chuppah and she didn't yet have bia, in contrast, if she was really married and she had bia, then she wouldn't have pagam. But these women, since they're still besulim, they, although they don't get knas, as we explained the technical reasons of the previous parak, but they would still have the baishas and the pagam. Says Ram halacha yudav kitz at house. So he says, so einis is a begeres with me'enes. If someone rapes an older girl, she's already an adult for 6 months. That's me'enes. Or if she was a minor, but she already had a marriage as a minor, although now she's not married. Afa b'ishen l'm kanas, although they don't have kanas, but like we said in the previous halacha, yesh l'm b'ishes to begam, they do get the payment for the embarrassment, for the being deficient, where, as we explained, the reason for that is the tsar and the pain, because anyone who's raped has pain. Now, ba'inis, now, if he rapes shaito echareshes, the mentally deranged or the deaf-mute woman, there, although he said that that's an exception to the rule, but that's specifically regarding the pain they're going to get. But you don't pay for the baish of the begam because, first of all, they don't have embarrassment because they don't have intelligence, and they don't have a monetary value to be sold in the marketplace, so they don't have the begam. But the pain they are getting, so they get compensated with the tzar. But if someone seduces the women we describe, well then, patam akum, then he's going to be totally exempt because the general rule is, as we said in the previous parak, in Halacha Aleph, is that a woman that's seduced doesn't have pain. So therefore, ashrayt v'chareshes, they don't have embarrassment, and begam, like we explained, if they're seduced, there's nothing. And begeres me'enes, even though they have b'yishes, begam, and tsar, but if they're seduced, they're not going to get anything because they're being meichel, they're consenting. And a begeris is not in the father's domain, so she has the right to be meichel. Me'enes, she's orphan, so she also... Now, but a naira that got seduced, even though there's no pain, but there is this knas and b'yishel begam, because since she's in her father's domain, and everything belongs to him, she cannot be meichel, a payment that goes to him. Halacha Yud Beis. Now the Ram explains a case of what's called meid b'knas. What happens if he admits on his own? Says the Ram, ain't no the misham knas b'chamakam b'yidus pe'a. A person never pays a penalty of a payment where it's on his own admission. Only if it was with the testimony of witnesses, because the Torah tells us regarding the knas in Shemayis Chabbeis, asher yishin alakim misham shnayim, only that which the court prosecutes him, but if he prosecutes himself, he's actually not liable. Oh, lafikach, therefore, if someone says, anasti petiti pita shalplani, I raped or I seduced the daughter of that man, in misham knas, he doesn't pay for the knas. Now, av misham b'yish b'gam b'yidus pe'a, but he does pay for the embarrassment and for the deficiency with his own admission, because that's monetary, that's not penalty, and whoever admits by monetary law does pay. So too, if the girl, if she petitions, she claims to collect from the man in the court. And she tells him, "Anastoi petita oisi, you raped or you seduced me." And he says, "This never happened. You're making this up," which is what's called halacha kefer bakol, which is biblically exempt from an oath. But we obligate him to take a rabbinic oath, which the word hesses is like seducing, like we try to seduce him to make to actually admit because of the oath. And the reason why we make him take a rabbinic shvuah is because we have a presumption the person would not make a claim unless there's something that's really owed to them. Now, but a rabbinic oath is not as severe as a biblical oath. So halacha is, harizah nishbash shvuah says, like I said, he has to take this rabbinic oath. Because, what's the point? She'ilo ha'id, because if he admits, there's something here for him to admit, which would be the embarrassment, the begam, and the pain based on his own admission. So based on the fear of taking a false oath, maybe he's going to admit, because in contrast to the penalty, like we said, for that itself, we wouldn't make a shvuah, because what's the point? Even if he would admit, it wouldn't help, because he wouldn't have to pay based on his own admission. Halacha Yud Gimel. Amroloi, let's say she tells him, "Anasto isi, you raped me, and you have to pay for me also for the pain that I went through." And he says, "Loi kele petisi," says, "Yes, we cohabited. I seduced you. You consented. I didn't rape you. I didn't force you." So harizah nishbashvus had teira al dimatzar here, which we said the halacha is different regarding a biblical oath. Here, let's take a biblical oath regarding the monetary value of the injury of the pain that she went through, because this is what's called moed b'miktzas hatayin. Here is admitting, as Rambam is going to explain. So he has to pay for the embarrassment and deficiency. He admitted to part of the claim, like Rambam will explain in the appropriate place in the first parag. So here he is admitting to part of it. He's admitting to having had relation with her, but he's claiming seduced and that he's only obligated in two of them and not on the third one. So therefore he has to take a biblical oath on that third one of the tzar. Which according to the Ravid, he does not have to take an oath, because Ravid interestingly says there's no claimant over here, because the payment doesn't go to her, it goes to her father. So it's like she's saying to him, "Oh, you owe my father $100. And he's saying, "No, I only owe him 50, where he's going to be exempt, because that's what's called Meshav Veda. There's no one claiming over here, because the father's not claiming anything. And if the father does claim, how does the father know that she was raped and not consented? Whereas the Kesef Mishnah Web explains the Rambam, that no, the daughter is considered the primary litigant, even though the payment goes to the father, but it's only through her, so therefore she's the one who takes him to court, and yes, it's her claim, and therefore it would be, as the Rambam says, a halacha made mixes hatayim. Now, the Rambam halacha continues regarding, so whom does the payments go to? Says the Rambam, shleisha dvarim shel mafata, the three payments that there is in seduction, varba shalainas, and the four payments that there is by rape, harim shel av, they go to the father, shakot shvach ne'urim loy, because all the profits that a girl has as she's up until being, when she's still even in the stage of a naira, which is between 12 and 12 and a half, all goes to the father, which we learn from Pasuk Bamidbar, b'nirya b'savia, which all the benefit that the girl has goes to her father. Now, if she doesn't have a father when she was raped, harayim shalatzim, and then it goes to herself. Now, that's specifically on rape, because if she was seduced, as we said before, she's not going to get anything, because since it goes to herself, and she did it consensually, she was meichel on those payments. Halachat ezvav. Mefuto ayanusa. A woman was seduced or raped, shalitaba shabagur. She didn't take him to court until she really became a begeris. Ayachinesis, or until she really got married to someone else. Now, when a girl becomes a begeris, or she gets married, she's not in her father's domain anymore. Oh yeah, she may so'av, or she didn't go take him to court until her father already died. So then, harbad var ma'ishlesh, and then the four payments of oynus, or the three of mefata, then shalah goes to her, and the fact is, although, what do you mean? Why would the three of mefata go to her? Didn't we say if it's going to her, she was meichel? Yeah, but since at the time of cohabitation, the three things were going to her father, because she had a father. So we don't say, oh, anytime she's seduced, she doesn't get a knas when it's going to her. No, it depends on the moment of seduction. Was she in her own domain? Then she's meichel. If her father was still alive then, and she was still in her father's domain, then it wasn't, there was no mechila. So if he subsequently dies, which now he doesn't have rights, she does, she actually does get it. Now, let's say amd bedin betava isam. Let's say she took him to court, and she claimed what is rightfully coming to her. And after they had the court case, she became a begeris, or she got married. Oh, then Narim Shalab, then the monetary payments go to the father, although now she's not in her father's domain, but once the court case started, it goes to the father. Now, let's say the father died after the court case, Harim Shalachim, then it goes to her brothers, Shem Yershab, which they were the inheritors of the father's rights. And the reason is, Shem Bedin, because the moment that there's the court case, Zachem Av, the father already merited in the rights of the injuries of his daughter. Halachat Zayin. If the daughter was engaged and subsequently divorced, and we're specifically talking about that she was divorced, because if she would be engaged without being divorced, and a man had relations with her, he would be liable for the death penalty, and of course there wouldn't be a kenas. So too much, she was engaged and then divorced, and then a man cohabited with her. So kenas lavadoi. So there, specifically only the kenas, in contrast to the Beis Megam, that goes la'atzma, that goes to herself if she was raped. Because in contrast to the Beis Megam, that actually belongs to the father, because when she's still engaged, she's never didn't fully leave her father's domain yet. Now, obviously, if she's seduced, she wouldn't get anything because she's Michael. But the moment she was raped, then the kenas goes to herself. Now, nensa in the spot. Let's say she was raped or seduced when she was single. The achkach neskashlach, and subsequently she got engaged to someone else. Kenas or shara dvarim. Let me hear also her kenas, because when she was raped, she was still single. And then the fact that she got engaged, that's not removing it. That's the difference in the previous part, which we said, there the kenas itself is going to go to her, because when she was engaged, that we learned that from a pasuk, Ashaloya Rasa, where we explained that in Perek Aleph, then it goes to the father. When she's engaged, that's exactly because then it goes to her, in contrast to the Beis Megam, which still goes to the father. In this case, when she was raped, when she was single, and then she became engaged, kenas Ashar Dvaram Lavir, again, here even the kenas, and for sure, the other things are going to go to the father. And the reason is, in these two halachas, in the areas in Metzima shows up because the getting engaged does not remove her totally from her father's domain. Contrast marriage, like by Faras Nadarm, where when she's engaged, then the father could nullify her vows. When she's married, then she's totally removed. So just getting engaged will not remove his rights from his daughter. Now, halacha Yitzayin, the Rambam rounds off this halacha by warning that this is not carte blanche. This is not what one might think about this, which there's still prohibitions of promiscuity. As the Rambam says like this, I say like this. This is in the Torah, do not desecrate your daughter to have her have znus, to be promiscuous with other men. What does this mean to say? The Rambam says it's coming from the halacha we discussed here in these parakim. In other words, Shalayim of the father shouldn't say like this. He says, look, he'll come up with logic. He says, the only liability that Torah gives for a man who rapes or seduces a woman is elishit mamla'av, is that the father gets monetarily compensated. Okay, so obviously it's all about me. I'm going to rent out my daughter that's a virgin to this man. That if he wants to have relations with her, however much money I'm going to ask for, that's what I could do, and the money is rightfully mine. I'm going to let this man have relations with her for free. A person could pardon his money to whoever he wants to, and she's my money. You see, if something happens to her, it goes to me. Says the Rambam, l'kach nemar, that's why the Torah tells us, al techalas betcha, don't desecrate your daughter. Meaning, the father's right, that the Torah only made a rapist or a seducer liable for money and not for lashes. That's b'she'ir ha'davah mikra. That's if a situation, a circumstance happens, without the father's knowledge and consent and awareness, and the girl did not prepare herself for this type of behavior, where she was just suddenly seduced or raped, that's not something that happens usually, it's not so common. So that's where she gets rewarded a monetary payment, and that goes to the father. But if the father's going to leave his daughter that's a virgin, prepared to whichever man wants to have a relationship with her, he's causing the world to be filled with licentiousness. But then it comes out, we're not going to know who's having relations with who and who's the paternity of children. It's going to turn out no one's going to know. A father's going to get married to his daughter. A brother's going to get married to his sister. Because if she's going to get pregnated from this situation and she's going to give birth, we're not going to know who's this child the son of. And to the contrary, actually, if someone prepares his daughter for these types of behaviors, she has a halachic status as a kadesha, a harlot. And actually, the man who has relations and the woman who's having relations get lashes for not having a kadesha in the Jewish people, like the pasuk in the Baruch of Gimel. And actually, in that situation, we actually don't penalize the boil. The man, because like we said, the Torah only penalized him if he rapes or if he seduces her, but here he's not seducing her, she's already pre-seduced, which the fact that she's a kadesha causes men to want to have relations with her. As the Rambam says, this woman who prepared herself for this, whether because she wanted this or her father wanted this, again, Hari is a kadesha. This Kadesha Echidhu and this halacha of being a harlot, that's a prohibition of Torah, is Bein Bipsula, Bein Be'ula, whether she's a virgin or she's not a virgin anymore. Therefore, the sage has said, And this is how the Rambam ties into a different halacha, that if let's say she already had a bad name when she was a young girl regarding this inappropriate behavior, in Luknas, if a man seduced or raped her, she wouldn't get the biblical penalty, like we explained in the first parak in the halacha test. Because this woman's already in the presumption that she already made herself free for all for these types of behaviors, and therefore that's not included, like the Rambam says, in the category of the knas of Einis Mefata. Whereas according to the Ravid, a kadesh is only a woman that is in a distinct place of the harlots, like the pasuk in Bereishis, Ayah Kadesh Benayim Al Derech. It's specifically a woman, not just has preparing for this man, it's a woman that's like a prostitute, a harlot, a woman that goes and sells herself with these types of things. That's how the rabbit hole of the Rambam says it's a woman that's, even for this one man, it's for monetary things, like selling his daughter. That already would be the Isser and the Torah, and then actually there wouldn't be any rights to the monetary payment of Bainas Mefat, and therefore you're getting it all wrong. Don't think that that's your monetary rights, because actually there's not even the monetary rights, and that's actually a prohibition of the Torah of Al Techal Es Bitcha Lahaznaisa.